October 16, 2020. It's a Watch Pedro Show.
Thank you. show. At Monkey See Monkey Do Shit, Scott, go! Oh man, while Cohan knows. Boys get useless, so Homan had to act. Use the face and hand, then sound, he sizzled. Cohan realized, Steve dead this side, other side, Steve lied.
Steve lied!
Eureka!
Bang, Steve, stop now!
Eureka!
Show. Happy Friday. Started off Mr. Knight from John Coltrane. That's Knight with a K. Mainstream Stop Valve after that from their new album, Eureka Moment. And with me, through the wonders of those software engineers of Stony with their great Skype invention, Stephen Hodges, Mike Baghetta, Mainstream Stop Valve. Welcome aboard.
Yo, hey. Thanks.
Glad to be here.
Hodge, you're in Long Beach?
Yes, sir.
And Mike, you're in Knoxville?
Yes, I am.
So two different states. And I'm in Pedro. But now with Brother Matt, he's still at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point a couple miles south because we're in quick quarantine mode. So I played the Eureka Moment from Mainstream Stop Valve debut out. You want to talk about it, Mike?
Yeah, I want to talk about it. The album, well, we can talk about the song first. It's funny you played that song first because it kind of ended up being like our theme song, I think.
That's why I played it first.
I never had a band with a theme song before, so it's pretty exciting for me. but actually, that song was interesting for me, too, because it's also one of the first songs, I think, where I wrote music, and I said, oh, this sounds like a pretty good song, but I wish it had words to it. And I've never really tried to sing myself because I have tried actually, but I think it comes out terrible all the time, so I just stopped trying. And then I haven't really wrote lyrics ever, and I thought, well, maybe Watt would want to write something. So I think it was the first tune I gave to you saying, hey, do you want to come up with some words for this? So it's kind of a cool tune for that reason, too, I think.
Yeah.
Hodge, you got some thoughts?
Oh, I'm just glad to be alive right now. I'm sorry. I am...
Well, try to narrow the life focus down to the Eureka moment. Now, we should tell the listeners, we recorded this in Strong Beach. It was the north part at Big Ego.
Right.
Live. And I remember giving you both, Mike Baguette and yourself, kind of intense instructions on how to join me with the singing.
Yeah.
You want to, these people weren't there, Hodge, so why don't you like paint
them? Okay. No, okay, I'm following you. Listen, for me, I've never sung in a band much at all. And it was exciting for one thing. And once we finally got it down and I heard it, I was amazed. But yeah, it's like my mind knew the words that my mouth did not want to say. The words.
Right.
So it was really a challenge, yeah.
Because we weren't all together, right? I pieced it out.
Right. And then there's some, all, isn't this the one where there's some really fast stuff, you know, like.
Yeah, we ping pong back and forth.
Deca.
That's the one.
It's exciting to hear the final product. Exasperating on the way to it, but yeah, it's really awesome.
Because I think the other one was Spiel. I'm a Man Alone. I think this is the one where we all three.
That's right.
Yeah. And we didn't do it like one at a time. We all did it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like a theatrical thing where we're tossing the words, the call and response back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah. Now what I remember is us doing the music and then coming back later, I had to fit the words.
Right.
To what we had, so I actually wrote too much. I had to pull stuff out. Because we actually ended up making, the form was shorter than when I made the words. The process was interesting. Right? Most people, they get the songs together, they go in the studio, they record, they go. But, Mike, you had a different idea.
Yeah.
You wanted us to go.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny because to me it wasn't really a different idea because it's always the way I've tried to do it, which is get a bunch of shows together, play a bunch of shows with the new music, try it out on stage in front of people, work out, iron out all the wrinkles that way, and then you go in the studio and then you record it. Because for me, what happens the other way, I think maybe I've done this once or twice, but mostly it happens if I'm playing in other people's groups. They'll write all this music, or we'll get all this music together. We'll do a couple, practice, and then we'll make the record. And then when the record comes out, 6, 8, 9 months later, whatever, then you do a tour. Well, by then, you got to like relearn all the music. And then if you do a bunch of gigs, at the end of those gigs, the music sounds like really great and the band's super tight, but then you already made the record. So to me, it makes sense to do it the other way. So we did 5 gigs all over California, kind of smaller shows, and then, did 2 days in the studio. So I thought it was kind of ideal timing that way.
Yeah, I like that too.
Who did we talk to this about? That was a Guitar Magazine guy.
Oh, yeah, Fretboard Journal.
Yeah, I just had a deja vu moment. Like, didn't we already say? No, it wasn't on the Walk for Pedro show. It was Bound and Fretted.
Different show.
Fretboard Journal. Bound and Fretted is Brother Phil up in Big Bear. Mammoth. So people, if you weren't there at Winter's Tavern in Pacifica to see the first of these, you missed out on one of the worst gigs Wyatt ever did in his life.
Absolutely.
That was a self-soil and a half. I was definitely not.
Okay, but imagine if that was the first day in the studio, right? It would have been like this wasted day.
Right. Yeah.
So I'd rather do it there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was great, great strategy. I got a tune here. I want to play from the new record. It's called Old Crow.
Thank you. it all to a non-believer, and all that's left is a girl who's loved by her mother and father.
Look, there's a good song. I make it out of bucket. And I drop the bucket down the well. I drop the bucket down the well. I drop the bucket down the well. I get a funny feeling. I get a real funny feeling. Walk over the hill, and then I came upon it. I ate this black wheel mill. I step into the wheel, and things start swinging. Things start swinging. Things start swinging. Thank you.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. Beginning of that chunk of music was Old Crow, Mainstream Stop Valve. Deerhoof after that with Love Lord number 3, guided by Voices to Keep an Area. I just got a new song from Bob Pollard. Mr. Kid. Yeah, this guy, tons.
He's prolific, man.
Yeah, buttloads. Wow, that's a good sound. Horizontal Ascension, live 1974, Prac, Terry York's Loft, television with Richard Hell. Bombas Prendon after that, Big Horizon, Like They Do, from Model Home. Bogdan Rosinski, Aho Boken. I see live people from PNDC and Housework, Belgrade. And then finally, June 16th, doing a cover of Minuteman. Mainstream Stop Valve. That was your idea, Mike.
It was my idea. Yeah, and you were nice enough to let us try to play it.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of interpretation.
Yeah. It'd be foolish to try to do it exactly the same way.
Yeah. But, I mean, people might think because I was in the Minuteman and I'm in the MSSV that it was my idea, but it was your idea, right?
Yeah, it was absolutely my idea. That's actually one of the first songs that I tried to learn to play on the guitar when I was in high school. I forget how I found that album, Double Nickels. I can't remember if a friend gave it to me or if I just sort of picked it up along the way at some point. But, I kind of came up doing a lot of rock guitar kind of stuff, learning. I was like really, I was in high school when like Nirvana hit, so that was the big scene for me. But I was also studying jazz music a lot and trying to play that. So I was into instrumental music is the point, right? And so when I heard that record, this instrumental song from your band, there's all these great words and all this great talking, singing. And then there's this instrumental piece and it's got such a vibe that's kind of different from the rest of the stuff, and it really caught my attention. And I thought D Boone's playing on that was so like iconoclastic is the word. Like I'd never heard anybody do like a guitar solo like that, where it's kind of like anti-solo. He's not really like it's not like Eddie Van Halen, But I loved it for that reason. It was kind of just sparse,
yeah,
a lot of space, crazy note choice, I thought. And it really kind of spoke to me. So I sat down and I kind of learned it. I learned the guitar parts. I learned that. And this is over 20 years ago at this point. So I just thought it would be really fun if we could try a different interpretation. And I know June 16th is the Bloomsday reference. And I know it's also Raymond's birthday, but it's also my birthday. And so I remember thinking like, I'm learning this tune and it's my birthday. That has to mean something, right?
and here
we are.
It kind of does, yeah.
And what about the first one that played out of that chunk, Old Crow?
Old Crow, yeah, that's an interesting tune for us too, because it's kind of a little Motown vibe, a little bit, I think, a little bit. And I know you have a strong connect with James Jamerson, his playing and his sound. And that was kind of, I feel like that's maybe a side to your playing people don't get to appreciate enough. And I know Hodge has all those grooves in his back pocket too. So this was a song I wrote before we had our band. Actually, I think this is one of the tunes I brought to the Wall of Flowers session that we didn't end up doing. But I thought it would work with this band really easily for those reasons, because I know you have that strong Jamerson connect, and I know Hodge can just groove with his eyes closed in his sleep. So I thought it'd be really interesting to see how we kind of take that and sort of, play it and then maybe mess with it a little bit too.
Now, by what I remember in the studio, by doing those 5 gigs, there wasn't a lot of takes on these.
Everything was, I think most of what we used is the first take, and a lot of stuff was only one take. There were a couple that were 2 takes, but I think we ended up using the first one anyways.
Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, we blasted through it.
And then you went back yourself and added a little bit?
I think the only thing I added on this one was the acoustic guitar that comes in on the mystery of.
Yeah, we'll get to that next hour.
I think that might be the only overdubs on this record.
And I know I came in and I did my spiel later. But we did the spiel for Eureka Moment. Wasn't it that day?
It might have been the second day, but we did that together for sure. Yeah.
And Chris Schlarp, he was engineer man. But did he get producer? How'd he fit in? I like the way he let us just play and never got in the way.
Yeah, he didn't really offer too much besides just kind of the really good vibe that he does to let us do what we do.
Well, I remember in Old Crow, back when we did it, I did ask him for some advice. I thought I was doing some fucking in and outs, and they were sounding gratuitous to me. So I asked him, and he said, just leave it out.
Good advice.
Do you remember that?
I don't know if I was there for that or I wasn't paying attention or something, I mean, I could see that for sure. You know, sometimes like when you're playing, when one is playing, not you specifically, but everybody, me, Hodge, everybody, like when one is playing, it's easy to forget that I think one of the best things you can do is not play something. You know, like just that idea of kind of that idea, like from D Boone's solo on original June 16, like just leave it open, leave a lot of space and let some kind of vibe happen. Cause it's easy to play too much and you think it's cool in the moment and you listen back later and you go, man, why am I doing all this stuff? It didn't need it.
So you're talking about maybe the concept of restraint?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it wasn't like I wasn't doing zero because I was still. I just didn't put in all them notes, you know, just kind of say, hey, we're going to another part.
Yeah. And then because you don't really need it, you know.
Yeah, it was, what do you call it? Ham-fisted a little bit. It was, yeah. And especially if you're talking something like James Jamerson, who did not waste notes. He didn't, you know what I mean? There's notes there. They're for a reason. It's not just
to tell people
that he can do them. It's more like I get the sense he felt the song needed it.
Oh, yeah. And his playing, for sure, thinking about that is interesting because his playing, like, I feel like he's one of the few guys that, you know, can play a lot of notes. But like you said, they're all supposed to be there. You know, like if you listen to Coltrane, right, like he plays – obviously a ton of stuff, but you know, you get the impression like he means all of it. He has to play each and every note he's playing. There's so many people that overplay because they have this idea that I'm supposed to do a thing where there's a lot of stuff happening. But a lot of times when I hear that, I hear really beautiful melodies and really beautiful playing, but it's in between a bunch of sort of gratuitous playing. And I always wonder what it would feel like if it was the fat was trimmed off a little bit more.
You know, my pop would come home from tour, and with things he heard on the boat, and I remember one time, I was more younger and stuff, and he looked at me and he said, you know, I heard it put, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with bullshit. And my pop had hazel eyes. You know, this kind of green, but they change. Mm. They don't stay the same color. In fact, when he got pissed, they got gray like slate.
Jeez.
But then they could get really green too. Yeah, it was trippy about his eyes. But wow. I remember him like telling me this, like the guy who said it was kind of proud. And he didn't put much stock in it. He thought that was kind of a lame ass. Like, you don't really believe that, do you?
He was proud of the last half. He was like, if you don't do that, do the last half, right? But the last half is the lame part.
Yeah, well, my pop said you're going to have probably, bottom line of that, would you're going to have to end up paying for it some way or another. So, you know, whatever the words.
Whatever the words,
what kind of molecules you're heating up in the room with your fucking verbiage. At the end of the day, someone's going to have to answer for it. You know what I mean? It's not just, yeah, he was very skeptical about actually winning arguments with words.
Yeah.
Which I think is one of the attractions of music, and maybe why you've done a lot more instrumental than lyrical music. Lyrical meaning words.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of, I mean, I think I just sort of listened to a lot of instrumental music early on in addition to music with words, and I never really got the impression that, like, one was better at getting a point across than the other one. Like, I could always kind of feel like there was some, that, you know, there's like an emotional investment in instrumental music to the same extent that there is in vocal music. That was just sort of a feeling I had. I mean, the story I tell, though, when I talk about this band is the story of hearing Contemplating the Engine Room for the first time, your opera, what, with Stephen Hodges on drums and our buddy Nels Klein on guitar. And I remember when I got that, was a friend gave me that record in college. And I had kind of had this idea, kind of like what I was just saying, you know, instrumental music and music with words, like they're sort of on an even platform. And just also thinking like, you know, maybe can't you just sort of enjoy or play or do things in all sorts of different genres without having to choose like, oh, I only do jazz or I only do classical or I only do polka or whatever, you know. I felt like all this stuff is kind of even, you know, it's all on the same footing as long as it's all just done well and with the emotional investment. And I remember listening to that record, Engine Room, and thinking like, man, these guys, they did it. They figured out how to do this thing I've been thinking about. Because to me, there's so huge, wide variety of styles that you guys go through on that record, but it's all got the sound of a band and it's all got this thread running through it with the storyline, and some of it's instrumental and some of it's got words, and it's like, you know, obviously the emotional content of that album is like super heavy, and that comes across really strong. So in that moment for me and my kind of life and musical life, everything converged hearing that, thinking like, oh, okay, I'm right. It can be done, and these guys did it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's so cool.
Yeah, and now imagine how bizarre it is for me that to get to play with you guys.
I know. It's awesome.
It is awesome, yeah.
Life is a trip, yeah. And then you get there. We're at the end of the first hour, October 16, 2020 edition. Watch for Pedro Show special guest MSSV. We'll take an hour or two. October 16, 2020. It's the second hour of the Watch for Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. We start off the second hour with Chart a Course from Mainstream Stop Valve, their debut album. Sam Bennett after that with Dramamine. The hatch is shut, Hodge, but you're still making a bunch of fucking noise. I.O. Tazuneru Mono from Pikachu Makoto, an early mix. Thor Harrison, Rob Halverson with Patience, The Virtue, and finally The Mystery, Mainstream Stop Valve. Okay, Chart a Course. I remember the first time I heard this from you, Mike. I was thinking of the Meat Puppets.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that, yeah. Kind of a Kurt chord.
Yeah, something about Kurt.
First time I knew about the Meat Puppets was from the Nirvana Unplugged show.
They took them on tour. And I think they did a couple of their tunes.
Yeah, they did.
Plateau, Lake of mm-hmm. Fire.
Yeah, made me go out and buy the record.
I saw them at the LA Press Club, told Gary Ginn about them in 1980-81, and yeah, they ended up touring with Black Flag and getting signed to SST. Old friends of mine. I think Phoenix just had, I don't know, 120 days of 100 plus degree weather. It's like,
Jesus.
But Kurt ain't living there anymore. He's Austin guy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And this what really cracked me up was with that MSSV taking on. Hodge, man, you're making a buttload of fucking noise, buddy.
I know. The cat just came in. Okay. I'm sorry.
Because it's all coming in loud and clear over here. Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Here we go. Because I mentioned you here, because when we first were going over the tune, you had this build-up thing on the fucking toms that ended up being like almost the whole tune.
Right.
It reminded me, here's another trippy thing about like hearing some music and thinking of somebody else like Kurt. I was thinking of Bob Burt, who's one of the Sonic Youth drummers that ended up in...
yeah.
I don't know, Boss Hogg and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't. I think he's on the other side of the river, so New Jersey guy. When you know, being the drummer, man, when you're hearing the parts, I know you've been playing guitar on the side. I wonder if drummer guys hear parts different. And make sure they fucking can't hear me. Can you slam enough shit there? You chopping, fixing your false teeth?
Yeah, I got a loose one of those blue ones in the back is kind of loose.
So you know what I mean? When you're hearing parts, I wonder if there's a different sensibility for a stick man.
Well, it's, you know, there's a lot about the levels, you know, of intensity and... depending on, you know, where we are in the song, you know, it's like trying to squeeze out enough intensity but save a little room for a build, you know, and what have you.
I mean, we were just talking about those fills that I took out of Oh Crow, which seemed to work, right? The removal thing, but...
Mm-hmm.
You can't always do that, right? Sometimes you have to be proactive and like, hey, we are going to move to another part. I'm going to let everybody know. And that's why I think the buildups in this tune are really important.
Right.
I think it would have fell really flat if you would have just maybe did a Derek Bostrom.
It's intense, you know. It's kind of a lot of energy and there's some more energy in that song, basically, you know? And it kind of emotes, and then it comes, squeezed back down a little bit, then rise up again, as, you know, so, yeah, I mean, being a stick man, you're all about those levels, you know, whether it's, you're gonna have the ride cymbal on the chorus and the, hi-hat in the verse, or, you know, floor tom, and then, you know, who knows, you know, it's all about orchestrating.
Right, right. You know, we also, besides this, well, this was done a couple months before Quick Quarantino Mode, but what I'm going to play next is something that we did all in our own pad separate during the Quick Quarantino Mode. It's called Media Kittens.
Thank you. Thank you. I went the other way. Can't you realize it's colder than I want it here?
Nashville backyard. Wind blowing hard. Big tall trees. I saw one leaf. Way up high, tumbling from the sky. Slowly tumbling, gently settled. So tiny. Last time on the phone. Seems so tired. Had to go. flowers. Now a pile of petals.
Why for Pedro Show? Media Kittens from Mainstream Stop Valve. Not on the new album, but it's on its own 7-inch. What's the name of the label, Mike?
Improved Sequence.
That's right.
Out of Bologna.
And Giancarlo, right? No, Gianluca.
Yeah.
Giancarlo's a bass man in Roma that I've been writing with lately. And, we all recorded that in our own pads, separate, and then you put it together. I think Chris Schlag mixed it.
Yeah, and Henry Kaiser mastered it for us.
Henry Kaiser mastered it. Then we had Grex doing Moon Baby, Pussycat and the Dirty Johnsons with Not Your Baby, Steve Abercrombie, Funky Train, The Hallway of All... The Hallway of the Always from Now. That's punk rock without the K, right? Pun rock. And then Mainstream Stop Valve with 9/20 December I wrote for my mom. Like right in the moment, maybe a couple weeks after she left us. Mm-hmm. So, Media Kittens. I mean, that was written. That wasn't something from earlier days. You wrote that in the moment, right, Mike?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you had hooked up the opportunity to do a couple songs for Improved Sequence label for our very first 7-inch, and I thought, well, this is interesting because I feel like, and that was pretty early into lockdown. I think that was like April or May or something.
Well, Gianluca in Bologna has a club called Freakout. And, the gigs had to be postponed and stuff.
Yeah.
So instead of, and Freakout's a club that does gigs every night. So
nice.
Instead of sitting on his hands, fuck, I'll start a label.
Oh, this is a brand new label, too. Wow. Okay, I didn't know that.
Well,
that's
it comes
amazing.
It comes out of this situation.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean. Instead of complaining and all this wishing for the old days, I think we got to get creative and deal with the now.
Oh, yeah, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, I mean, at that point for me, I was like, oh, great, an opportunity to, because we just had the tour postponed, and for me it was like, great, an opportunity to make music with these guys that I thought I wasn't going to have, and to do that and figure out how to do it together. And then, of course, we have some more stuff in the pipeline like that, too. And we can maybe talk about it later if you want to, but that idea of living in the now and dealing with what you've got to be creative, the album release video film thing from Big Ears, that's kind of the same vibe. Like, we would have never made something like that if we were just going to go on tour again, just go and play the clubs. But to do this, like, totally crazy concert film thing the way that we were able to do it with them,
yeah.
I think it's another good example of trying to make the, not even just make the best of the moment, but make something amazing that you wouldn't be able to do otherwise.
Right.
And
that's tonight, Big Ears Festival. We're at the end of the second hour, October 16, 2020, edition of Watt Pedro Show, special guest MSSV. Hold tight for hour three. October 16, 2020, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Thank you.
to hell than you could have had. It's okay. Let's go have a picnic. Life got to dance in the dark. Forget about the statistics of this day that only lasts so long. Ride is the tidal wave of our love. As flower petals rain from above. Whatever we do, we'll do together. It will live happily ever after. The vanity is overwhelming me, cause you make me speak all of my feelings. We have to go so we bet our knees, even though we finally broke the ceiling. Don't you feel surprised that we don't belong? Is it all just a mistake? Or is there reason for the sadness? Have a nice day. Thank you.
for Pedro Show, starting the third hour with Every Growing Thing from the debut Mainstream Stop Valve album. Does it come out today?
Yeah. Yeah, it came out about 12 hours ago.
And tell people how they can get a hold of that.
Yeah, you can go to Bandcamp and specifically MikeBaghetta.bandcamp.com, and you can find the new MSSV record, which is our debut studio album. We have a previous MSSV record, which is a live record, Live Flowers on the Striped Light label. And we have some T-shirts left, too.
We should explain like that. Why that record's different. Why it ain't called MSSV?
It is called MSSV, the Live Flowers record.
Oh,
the CD.
Called Live Flowers.
Yeah. Yeah, the Live Flowers is when the tour that the three of us did, me and Watt and Hodges,
yep,
to tour after the Wall of Flowers record came out, which is not MSSV. That's me and Mike Watt and Jim Keltner. I wanted to do a tour when that Wall of Flowers record came out. Or I thought maybe we'd do a gig or two with Jim. And he was very sweet, nice man, basically said he doesn't really travel to play anymore. And I said, okay, that's cool. And I thought, well, I don't know, it'd be a shame not to do some shows. So I remember calling or emailing Watt saying, well, what should we do? Should we just not do anything? It seems kind of a waste. I want to do something. And then you suggested, well, why don't we try to do it with a different drummer? And I don't know why I didn't think of that myself, but it was a good idea. And so I started thinking, well, who would be great to play with? And then, I obviously thought of the Engine Room Connection, and I knew that Schlarb had worked with Steven as well. And I think you gave me his number, Watt, or email, and I called him up. And I thought we had a really nice conversation. And Hodge was playing down in Chattanooga, which is about 90 minutes from me, one day. So I went down to meet him, and we hung out. I think we got a coffee or something, and we got along pretty good. He agreed to play.
We got breakfast, and we got rained on, right?
Oh, that's right.
It kept getting so wet, we finally said, okay, it's not going to break. We got to get inside.
Yeah, we were outside in that courtyard. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Eggs getting rained on and stuff.
So if you get confused, people, it's MSSV doing material from Wall of Flowers.
Plus.
So it's an MSSV record, but we haven't done MSSV material yet. This album that's coming out today is the one with MSSV material. Okay, so you know how that stuff can get.
It's a constant confusion, I find.
But if you go to mainsteamstopvalve.com,
yep,
it'll get you straight on that. We had... Yep. After that, Every Growing Thing, Have a Nice Day from Crane, Melodious Spires from Patrick Butler, and if anybody else could help, Mainstream Stop Valve. That's also from the album. But this is the other side of the Italian 7-inch I'm going to play right now. It's When the Hoarding Has Ended. last music for this edition. When the Harden Has Ended from Mainstream Stop Valve. Then Galextasy with Heaven Channel, Season 2, LP 7, Part 2. These people, Kellen Jordan, not Jordan, Gerard, out in Joshua Tree. 18 records during this Quentin Quarantino mode. So,
my God.
Yeah.
Right. Feel like we're slacking off.
Damn.
But
no kidding.
we got some stuff in the oven. Right? You want we got a little mini opera. A 4-piece thing based on some Scott Eicher paintings.
Nano opera.
Yeah. Nano opera. And then we also got a collab 7-inch with Nels Klein.
Yeah.
In the works.
Yep. And all that stuff is being done all in our own separate spaces as we have to be right now, which is, I think, is again a really cool thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an excuse just to sit on the fucking hands, right?
Right, right. Yeah, I know a lot of people that are kind of I'm just waiting it out, or just trying to keep it together for when this is over. But I feel like you gotta do what you do, and you gotta figure out a way to do it, and not figure out a way to do it like stupidly and just pretend like everything's normal, but do a way where you can be safe and figure out how to do something great.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It's like the Minutemen wait until they grow up to be Van Halen. Probably isn't going to happen.
You'd still be waiting.
Still be waiting. But I've heard people talk that way, and you're right. During these times, even, and it's even more obviously ridiculous to me. So I'm really glad you're in on that. If the lemons come, we make the fucking lemonade.
And I mean, it keeps you like, for me, it keeps me like being busy and doing good work with you guys and doing music and, you know, whatever other little variety of things I'm involved in. I mean, it helps pass the time, but it also helps me kind of have a good, you know, positive mental thing happening too. If I was just not doing anything, every day would be like, oh man, this is terrible. You know, this was taken away from me and I can't do this. And like, I don't want to focus on that stuff. I want to focus on trying to be creative and adding something good to the world, like I would be trying to do if we weren't stuck, you know?
Hodge?
Yes, sir.
Well, it sounds like you wanted to ask.
I'm just stoked to be doing this stuff. It's, we are separated and we're making the most of it. And it's a challenge, you know, it's like, it's not like when your bandmate is sitting right next to you and you might be a little ahead of the beat or a little this or that, and then your bandmate adjusts a little bit. You know, we have to work off of a guide track, and it requires a special kind of concentration to stay with that metronome, you know. So it's been a challenge on a bunch of different levels, and I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't want to miss it for anything. It's been awesome.
Yeah. One thing about the guide track thing, I think that's kind of the launch pad, because Hodge, I always play off your drums.
Right. Right.
Once you bring me your drums, I throw away that click.
Yeah. Right.
Because you become my new click.
Mm-hmm.
And then we become a rhythm section that we bring to mic. We start the whole fucking thing off.
Yeah, I mean, just to lay it out for everybody, so like the way I do it is I come up with something, and then I'll play the guitar part, I'll make a click track for it, and sometimes there's some, Eicher stuff especially has some time stuff shifting around, so I'll make a guide track, click, and then I'll play the guitar part, and then over here I think I've been using like an octave pedal, and I'll do fake bass part, you know, something like the bass part, and then I'll do sort of like, you know, robot computer drums kind of program, something that's not what I want Hodges to play, because I'm not really going to direct either of you guys that way. I don't think that's the best way to make music with people whose playing you respect, but necessarily in this case, but just something that's kind of an idea for you all to think about. And then I send it off, and like Hodges saying, he takes the quick track comes up with a drum part. And so also that's another thing, like we can't just be in the same room saying, hey, do you like this? Oh, what about this? Do you like this? So it's kind of, he'll record something and send it to me and I'll say like, yeah, that's cool. Can you, you know, make, get a more intense dynamic level going at Great. This spot? And then he'll send it back and then we lock that in. Then it goes to Watt. He locks the bass part in against the drums. So at that point, there's no guide. I get that. I re-record the guitar part. And then if it needs spiel, goes back to Watt, and then I get it, and we figure out where we're going to mix it, all that kind of stuff. So it's a little bit of a lengthier process, but, you know, it still feels really organic and really like, you know, I can still be close to you all in that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, any way to be together, you know?
Right. I mean, you know, there's actually a style of music called improvised, and maybe not so much improvised music, but we're improvising with the situation we're being dealt with.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been a big honor to get to talk to you guys about this stuff. What do we got going tonight?
The honor is mine. We got a
mine as well. Thank you.
We got a gig, believe it or not, kind of. The Big Ears Festival here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Super generous, amazing folks working there. That was on our spring tour that is still postponed. But they also are of the mindset of, hey, we have to do something instead of just waiting around. So they've been putting together a series of video film concert sort of things. We had the Bad Plus do one last week. Mark Rebo is doing one next week. And we have one tonight. And if you are listening today on Friday, October 16th, you can go to BigEarsFestival.com, BigEarsFestival.com/MSSV. And it's a ticket thing. You can buy tickets. You can get a couple bucks off the record if you put it together with the ticket. But it's a 60-minute concert film. It's not like you're in a theater and it's just being filmed. It's not like you're pretend club. I don't want to give too much away, but it's kind of amazing the way they did all this, and it looks pretty trippy.
You know what? I think it's BigEarsFestival.org/MSSV. BigEarsFestival.org.
I'm glad we caught that correction.
Anyway, yeah, well, check it out. Go ahead.
Those are the people that do Bonnaroo, that's the same guy. These are fantastic festivals. As far as festivals go, this guy is top level, you know. So, yeah, and the fact that he does music that's, you know, not just in the more pop or R&B vein, but, you know, more art music as well. Big Ears is like, hey, bring it on. That's so cool.
Yeah, amazing. Ashley Capps is a really great dude for running this, and we had a lot of help from Aaron Greenwald, who is doing production on this. And you know what? It's both. You can do .com or .org. It goes to the same place.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because on the little graphic you sent me, that's the way it was.
That's good. I'm glad. Okay, because otherwise I've been messing it up all week.
Anyway, thank you, Ashley, for having us aboard.
Yeah.
Thank you, Amen. Hodge. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Hodge.
Yeah.
Everybody's been October 16, 2020. This is Watt for Pedro. So keep your powder dry.